That brings us to today's objective. I must cleanse my heart of unforgiveness. Church, we must cleanse our heart of unforgiveness. The subtitle for today's message is this: Let It Go. Church, it's time to let it go. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. If we are going to have a restorer's heart, we must cleanse our heart of unforgiveness. What does it mean to forgive? To forgive simply means this: to overlook an offense. To overlook an offense. It literally means to send it away. When somebody offends me, I send that offense away. And it means to let go of resentment. To forgive means to overlook an offense, to send it away, and to let go of resentment. Church, when unforgiveness is in our heart, we refuse to overlook an offense. And we carry feelings of anger, bitterness, disgust, or disappointment in our heart toward the offender. See, it's not just feelings of anger, and it's not just feelings of bitterness. It's feelings of disgust and disappointment. When I won't overlook something that someone has done, and I keep in my heart feelings of disgust, and I'm so disappointed in you, that's unforgiveness. These feelings that take shape in our heart, they begin to inform our mind. And they affect how we think about the offending person. Our attitude toward them becomes poor. And we decide that they are unworthy. Unworthy of what, Pastor? Unworthy of anything. Unworthy of kindness. Unworthy of attention. Unworthy of help, unworthy of love. We have just decided in ourselves they are unworthy. And once we make that determination, it produces ungodly actions. Well, Pastor, I have to disagree because I don't mistreat people. I know where you're going. I'm not mean to people. I'm not nasty. I just leave them alone, and that's the problem. Because being dismissive and neglectful to the lost is a problem. Being dismissive and neglectful to the lost is a problem. Because when we do that, we are opposing God's will. Amen? Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We'll start with the first two verses. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans, meaning Jesus. Then drew near unto Jesus all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. We remember what murmuring is. Saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So they are upset that Jesus would dare to sit with these sinners and publicans. A publican was a tax collector and was considered the worst type of sinner imaginable. And so Jesus, in response to their murmuring and complaining, tells a series of parables. He tells a series of parables. He starts with a parable about a lost sheep. Then he tells a parable about a lost coin. Then he ends with a parable of the prodigal son. We learned again that prodigal means wasteful. So Jesus tells this parable about this younger brother who goes to his father and says, give me what belongs to me. Give me my portion of the inheritance. And when the scribes and the Pharisees heard Jesus begin this parable, they would immediately be offended. Because what this young man was saying in essence is, I wish you were dead. To ask the Father for your inheritance before his death was a supreme insult. So this man asked for his inheritance, and the Father, who could punish him, does not, but gives him his portion of the inheritance. And we know in the parable that it says that this young man, the prodigal, he takes all that he has and goes into a far country. In other words, he takes all of his possessions. He has no intention of coming back. He has every intention of severing all ties with his family. He takes everything he has and goes into a far country. And the parable goes on to say that he engaged in riotous living. And that word riotous simply means unrestrained. He was unrestrained in his behavior. But eventually his unrestrained behavior did him in. And at the same time, a famine comes in the land. So now he has to deal with the consequences of his sin. And he has to deal with the adversity of life. He's in a difficult situation. And Jesus explains in this parable that he comes to himself, that he realizes what I am doing is not working. God opens up his eyes and he says, I'm going to repent. I'm going to go back to my father and say, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Just let me be a servant in your household. We learn that in the parable that when the father saw him afar off, in other words, the father saw him before he saw the father. The father saw him and ran to him and embraced him and kissed him. Gave this young man a robe, a ring, and sandals. In other words, he restored him to full sonship despite what he had done. So Jesus tells this parable to the scribes and the Pharisees, who probably are still offended by this young man's behavior. How could this father be so kind? And yet Jesus goes on to talk about the elder son. Look at the elder son's attitude. Let's read verses 25 through 30. The prodigal son has returned. The father has received him, and he throws a great feast to celebrate. Verse 25, it says, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. So this son was in the field or in the church. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Why is everybody so excited? What we celebrating? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he, the elder brother, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering, said to his father, lo, in other words, look, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. See, when you look at the brother, this elder brother, we learn, had pride, but he also was full of unforgiveness. Because we have to understand that in this culture, elder brothers were responsible to reconcile fathers to their younger sons. It was an elder brother's responsibility. If a father had a falling out with one of his younger brothers, it was his responsibility to reconcile them, to bring them back together. That was his role. That was his duty. But this elder brother did not and would not fulfill his duty because he was offended. He was offended by his younger brother. Why was he offended? Well, the text doesn't say. Perhaps it was because he was embarrassed. Maybe his younger brother's behavior embarrassed him and brought shame on the family, so it offended him. Perhaps he was bitter because when his younger brother left, it left him to do all the work around the household. But whatever reason it was, he was offended. And he was not offended because of the father's sake. He didn't care about how the father felt. He was offended and he was unforgiving. He carried anger in his heart. He would not overlook his younger brother's breach. He was disgusted, reminded his father, "Do you know what he has done?" And his unforgiveness caused him to be dismissive and neglectful. Now, he was not just dismissive and neglectful when the son came home. See, he knew what his brother was doing because he said to his father, "He has wasted your resources on harlots." He knew enough, at least enough word from the street had gotten back to him. He knew what was going on with his little brother, but he never went to get him, never went to reason with him, never went and said, "If you just repent, our father will forgive you. If you just come back, he is looking for you. He looks out wondering where you are, what's happening with you. If you just come back with me, you can be restored." He never did that. He stayed in the house as if he were saying, "I'm just going to watch this fool. Let's see what happens with him. I'm just going to stay in the house." He was so filled with anger and bitterness and disgust that he would not even acknowledge his brother as his brother. Let's look at the scripture again. Verse 26, "And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he, the servant, said unto him, 'Thy brother is come.'" But look at what he says starting in verse 29. "And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends.'" Well, let's back up. He says, let me find the scripture. "But as soon as this," verse 30, "but as soon as this thy son was come." Notice he says, "thy son." The servant says, "your brother." He says, "your son. He ain't none of mine. He don't belong to me." That's what we do when we talk to other people about our family members. "You need to talk to your brother. You need to go deal with your son, who happens to be my brother." He wouldn't even acknowledge him as his own. And when his brother was restored, despite his neglect, the elder brother would not go in and rejoice with the family. See, the church today is like the elder brother. We are in the household, doing our thing, refusing to fulfill our duty to reconcile others to Christ. Why? Because of offense. All too happy to let our disappointing family remain in their pig pen. All too happy to be in here and leave them out there. All of us can think about family members that we are more than happy to leave them out there. And if our family members happen to stumble upon the church, gave their life to Christ, raised their hands at an altar, we would not rejoice. First thing that we would think is, "Well, what about all those things they did to me? What about what they said to me? What about how they treated me?" Why? Because they offended us. They stole from us. They cussed us out. They were unfaithful. They broke their promises. They embarrassed us.